Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake. I'm a little out of breath. I literally just got back from Payson, Arizona. We were trying to go hiking. Matt, I was telling you this off the air, but we were trying to go hiking to this waterfall, me and my buddy Ty, and we Googled Allison Creek Trail because naturally thought it'd go to Trailhead. It literally took us just to like this dirt road in the middle of the woods, which is a really cool walk, but not the waterfall, so we're going to have to go back, but I'm out of breath. Long walk, just got back, and Matt also just got back. Less physically strenuous, but maybe more emotionally strenuous trip to our cousin's house in Utah.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. Just hung out with our cousins. We have our cousin Ashley. You know Ashley.
I do know Ashley.
Yes, but she's staying over. Ashley. He's staying over because her daughter Abby is going to Utah State. So they stayed over. They dropped Abby off at school, I believe, yesterday. So yeah, we've been hanging out with them. I will bet I'm more sleepy than you because I had school this week and my body's not used to getting up that early yet.
See, well, I was going to say I got home at like 1:30 last night because yesterday was our birthday. So happy birthday to Matt and I.
Happy birthday, yay!
If you haven't gotten that we're twins by now, you're a little late to the show, which is okay. We turned 27, and I'm in Arizona, Matt's in Utah, so we celebrated separately, as we've, for some reason, often have done, like one reason or another.
Right, more often than you would think that we would.
Yeah, especially since high school. Like, pretty much almost every time since high school we've been.
Yeah, there's always something going on. It's weird.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about college football. We're going to do college football draft where Matt picks a team who he thinks can make playoffs and I pick a team. So like Matt picks Alabama, I can't pick Alabama, I have to pick somebody else. And then we're going to see who does better at the end of the year. So that's what we're doing today, all college football stuff. But before we get that, Matt, what did you do yesterday for your birthday, our birthday?
So yesterday, it was great. So even like the week before school, it was a lot of for teaching school, not taking school. There was a lot of preparation, setting up the classroom, going to the meetings. And so I was, quote unquote, working for 13, 14 hours a day. So I haven't really had much time to do anything. So yesterday, I just kind of woke up in the morning. I slept in and then I read, which was great. I read Beowulf. And then later in the day, we went over to the Red Iguana, which I'd never been to. After 27 years of being in Salt Lake, I'd never been to. We went, and it was, you know, just such good Mexican food.
Yeah, it's one of the most famous Mexican restaurants in Salt Lake City. Probably the most famous Mexican restaurant in Salt Lake City, so.
Yeah, I would think so. So I'm sure if you've got a better Mexican restaurant for me to go to, definitely tweet at us. But so far, Red Iguana's winning.
Yeah, well, what I did yesterday is I went and played baseball. By that, I mean I just threw a baseball around with my buddies. Then went to our other buddy's pool. His parents are loaded, so he has a super nice pool. So hung out of the pool all day. Then went to the Giants-Diamondbacks game. I'm a big San Francisco Giants fan. When the schedule came out in February that the Giants were going to be in Arizona on my birthday, circled it on the calendar. So that was fun. Giants won 11-6. And then we were going to go to Old Town Scottsdale, but one of my friends texted me. Friend is a relative term, but it's a long story we're not getting into. Someone texted me, you know, so we ended up going to Taco Bell Cantina in, like, downtown Phoenix together. So I got home at, like, 1:30 or something like that from Taco Bell. So that's how my birthday went.
Nice. Seems like you had a good time.
It was a full day, you know, but it's pretty much how I wanted it to go. So it was fun.
That's good.
We're getting old, Matt. Should we talk some college football to wrap it up?
Let's talk some college football.
All right. Yeah, let's just get right into it again. So it's a draft, so Matt's going to pick a team he thinks is going to make playoff. I'm going to pick a team. We're going – so we each get four picks, and then we're – ideally, who gets the most picks is going to win out of us. I think we know the first two picks are going to be, but Matt, who's the number one pick in this draft?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter too much. If we do a tiebreaker, we might have to do some sort of rankings. I'm going to pick Clemson number one, and I'm picking them a lot because they're just, you know, in an easier conference, easier division and everything, less opportunities for losses. So I think they maybe have a better chance of getting that number one seed. particularly having won last year, I think the committee is going to have them ranked higher until they have a reason not to. And they're just so good, they're probably not going to show any reason to get past. Although they do usually lose to like Syracuse or NC State or something. So something like that might happen, but I'm still going with Clemson.
Yeah, no, I think they have Trevor Lawrence, who's one of the, at worst, top two quarterbacks in the country. Travis Etienne's an All-American running back. They got Justin Ross, T. Higgins. T. Higgins, I'm 99% sure that's his name, but a couple like All-American caliber wide receivers. Defensive line, they're reloading a little bit. But they had Xavier Thomas. He was the number one recruit a couple classes ago in the whole country. He's a defensive end. I think they'll be fine on the defensive end. They only gave up, Matt, like 13.2 points a game last year on defense, which is staggering. Like, right, how good that is. Like, I didn't
really, yeah, especially for college football, that's nuts.
Unbelievable. So, you're right. They do have, not to spoiler alert, but they do have an easier chance at going undefeated than Alabama because, right, I think Syracuse and NC State and South Carolina are probably the trap games for them, just because, you know, it's conference games. Syracuse is on the road. South Carolina, I think, is in Clemson this year, but, you know, that's a rivalry game. Who knows what's going to happen there? Even if they get a loss, they're pretty much they'd have to lose two to not make the playoff, and even then there's a chance they could get in. So, pretty safe bet there with Clemson at number one.
Okay, yeah, so that's I feel good about them. Who have you got coming in at number two?
So number two pick, my first round pick, Alabama, Crimson Tide. I think we're going to get more excited once we get to the next picks, but I think everyone's going to be either Alabama or Clemson. Alabama has Tua Tagovailoa, my favorite to win the Heisman, and here's why, Matt. Last year, I didn't realize this, so I was doing research this a few weeks ago for that article I wrote about the quarterbacks. He broke Baker Mayfield's passing record for passing efficiency. He had 199.4 passing efficiency last year, which is just literally mind-blowing how he could do that. He has the best receiver in the country, Jerry Jeudy. He has the best receiving core in the country as well. All of them returned from last season, all the critical starters. Alabama does reload on defense. They did lose a linebacker a week or two ago to, I think it was a knee injury, possibly a foot injury. But again, Alabama, they've had the only year they didn't have the number one recruiting class in the country for the last 7 years was 2 years ago. Last season, they, like, this incoming freshman class, it was historically maybe the best recruiting class ever. So an injury to Alabama never really concerns me. They do have a tougher chance or an easier chance to get at a loss in Clemson because they play Auburn, they play Texas A&M, they play LSU, they play in the SEC. So naturally, I think there's going to be more opportunities for losses. And honestly, there's a chance, like a couple years ago, if they lose that Auburn game and Auburn's having an Auburn year, like they might not even win the SEC and they could still get in the playoffs. So I think Alabama's not losing twice. Even if some weird thing in the SEC happens where they don't go to the SEC championship game, they're still going to get in. It's Alabama. So they're my number two pick, my number one pick, but number two overall pick. So we got Alabama and Clemson so far.
Okay. All right. Makes a lot of sense. So mix it up a little bit here. There's going to be some disagreement, although I don't think anybody would call this a bad pick. I am going with Oklahoma. You know, I just feel like, out of the Power Five conferences, I think the Big 12 is probably the weakest, or at least it has the least teams, and so I think it's easier to go through the Big 12 without a loss. And then Oklahoma, you know, I just feel like they're always going to have a strong enough offense that's going to be able to take them to the playoff in one way or another.
Yeah, their non-conference games, they play Houston at home, who has a really dynamic quarterback named De'Aaron King. So that'll be an interesting game for sure. They play UCLA in UCLA. I think Houston's the biggest threat as far as non-conference for them to lose the game. Realistically, though, I think the Big 12 is going to come down to Oklahoma and Texas, and I think Oklahoma is going to run through the conference. They might have one loss to Texas. They're not going to have two. So they can do what they did last year where they lost Texas in the regular season, beat Texas in the Big 12 championship game. They have a really good shot at getting to the Big 12 title. Like I said, Matt, rest of the Big 12, you know, Texas Tech, I think, is going to be an interesting team. Baylor has a really good quarterback, Charlie Brewer. Oklahoma State's going to you know, because they score so many points, they're always going to be a threat. Iowa State has one of the top, at worst, top 10 quarterbacks in the country in Brock Purdy. But all those games that they play, Iowa State at home, they play Texas Tech at home, they play Baylor on the road in Waco. So that's probably the toughest road game besides Oklahoma State that they have in conference. They get TCU at home as well. Texas is obviously a neutral site. They play in Dallas at the fair, Texas State Fair. So Jalen Hurts is their quarterback, transfer from Alabama, who has a 26-2 record as a starter. So I think it'll be a bit of a drop off from Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, who are statistically two of the best quarterbacks in college football history. They have CeeDee Lamb, one of the most talented receivers in the country, two of the best running backs in the country, maybe the best running back group in the entire country is in Oklahoma. Head coach Lincoln Riley, I think he's the best offensive mind in the game, in the college game at least. So short way of saying that, man, I think that's a pretty good pick you got there at Oklahoma. I think that's the same bet.
That's good. I feel good about it.
Okay, so I got a few teams in mind. I'm trying to think who you're going to pick next. So that's why this next pick is, because I think you're going to pick them. So tell me if you would or not. So my number two pick, fourth overall pick, the Georgia Bulldogs. Where are you going to pick them?
I don't think I was going to pick them next.
Because then maybe you would have picked my other team next. But here's why I like Georgia, Matt. Here's why I think even in the SEC, we're going to get two teams in just like a couple years ago. Are you ready? So Georgia's schedule, let's look at that first. So they got Notre Dame at home, which is obviously rough, but it's at home, so I think they'll be okay. They play Florida's a neutral site game. They play Auburn on the road. They play Texas A&M at home as well. So as far as the SEC, how the SEC works, excuse me, I have a hiccup. There's seven teams in each division, so you play two teams from the other division. You play one team every time from the other division. So for Georgia, that's Auburn. That's the team they play every year from the other division. Alabama, Tennessee, that's they play every year. So it's like historical rivalries. The other team, the second team from the opposite division, you rotate through. So this year, Georgia gets Texas A&M. So they do have a really difficult schedule. But Matt, I don't think I'm off when I'm saying I think Georgia is as good talent-wise as Alabama and Clemson. They've recruited as such the last few years. They've been really close. They took Alabama to overtime a couple years ago. SEC championship, I would argue they blew that game, really. They should have won the SEC championship last year. Looking at the schedule, I think they maybe have one loss in the regular season. So here's what they'd have to do. They'd either have to one loss in the regular season and win the SEC championship game. I think they also, more realistically, though, I think it's more realistic for Georgia to go undefeated in the regular season, lose the SEC championship game to Alabama, and still get in the playoff. The reason why I think even a two-loss Georgia team could get into the playoff, they were close last year, really close. They almost got in over an undefeated team as a two-loss team. I don't think Notre Dame's going to go undefeated. I think it's likely. I think Oklahoma's going to have one loss, but I think it's possible they have two. I think the Big 12 champion, especially if it's not Oklahoma, it's going to have two losses. And then you're looking at Big Ten, SEC. I think it's possible a two-loss Georgia team gets in over. We've seen the mess the Pac-12 is and the Big Ten is. We'll get to that when we're talking about the Big Ten. But I think even with a loss or two, Georgia has a good shot at getting in. So that's my second pick is Georgia.
Okay, yeah, I think that makes sense. I was just a little afraid about putting two teams from the SEC in. I know we've seen it once, but, you know, I don't think the committee was real happy about it. I don't know if they'd be super excited about doing it again, although they're definitely good enough to force the committee to do it.
I think big picture-wise, this is a year where there's going to be not enough – where it's going to be more than four teams – or excuse me, less than four teams than one loss. So I think some two-loss team is going to have to get in, and I think Georgia is going to get a nod over some other teams that we're probably about to talk about.
Sure. Makes sense. Okay. So my other team that I'm going to go with number three, I've got a team that I'd like to pick a little bit more than this, but I have a feeling you're not going to pick them. So I'm going to go with Ohio State.
That was the next thing. I was picking between Georgia and Ohio State. Who should I pick?
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you would have picked Ohio State, I might end up Like, I think Georgia probably would have been my fourth pick. So I don't know how that would have worked. But did you see, I saw a story this week on ESPN that Ohio State is trying to trademark the word "the." It didn't say if it was in as part of the phrase "the Ohio State University," which I'm sure it would, because I don't think otherwise you could just copyright the word "the." But I thought that was interesting. Anyway, Ohio State, Big Ten. I know you've got thoughts on the Big Ten that I'll let you get to. I just think talent-wise, we're starting to get into an area where, you know, we're not up with Clemson and Alabama and Georgia, but we're at a point where, you know, Ohio State starts to be above, you know, a lot of the other teams that are left on the list. And then as far as the Big Ten goes, you know, I know Michigan's really going to be good. I have yet to be, you know, really, really impressed with any of these Jim Harbaugh teams outside the defense, which has been really good. But, you know, really after, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, the rest of the Big Ten, you know, is much lower as far as talent is concerned. So I think that's going to help Ohio State.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Ohio State's schedule, Matt. So it lines up pretty well. Their non-conference, the tough game is Cincinnati. That's one of my favorite group of five teams. That's not a cakewalk at all for Ohio State. I don't think they lose that game, but FYI, watch Cincinnati this year. Their quarterback, Desmond Ridder, spectacular. Luke Fickell, the head coach, a former Ohio State Buckeye, is doing a great job there. They have some of the coolest jerseys, I think, in college football as well. So Cincinnati is team to watch, group of five team to watch. But then we look at their conference schedule, Matt. They got Michigan State at home, Wisconsin at home, Penn State at home. Ohio State plays at Michigan, which I'm not worried about, though, because they haven't really lost to Michigan in a long time. The big game, Nebraska on the road. Nebraska, if they're as hyped up as everybody seems to be, Adrian Martinez is, I'd say, a top 25 quarterback in the country. I had him, I think, at like 19 or 22, somewhere in that range when I did my rankings. Lincoln's a tough place to play. One of our Matt and I, one of our best friends in high school, they're actually twins as well, the Peck. So shout out to Connor and Garrett. But their older sister married a USC running back. His name is Stanley Havili, who played in the NFL for a few years. But he comes back to Salt Lake, and he'd like play pickup basketball with us or watch college football with us. And I asked him one time, I said, they remember, they played at USC running back. I said, what was the coolest stadium or, like, toughest stadium you ever played at? And he said Nebraska was. One time that USC had a non-conference game in Nebraska, and he said it was the loudest, most crazy atmosphere he's ever been in. So,
right. Which is not because Nebraska, I mean, they were fine at that point, but they weren't as good as they were now, as they are now, and they weren't as good as they were like.
Yeah,
in the
it was
80s
one of those
like,
you know, 8-win, 9-win seasons that Nebraska kind of got for a really long time. It was in that range of Nebraska football. I think right. Yeah. So yeah, not crazy, but like just that fan base, it's probably going to be a night game. So that's the toughest road environment Ohio State's going to face. But again, Matt, I think there's going to be two losses. I think it's very possible Ohio State, let's say they lose to Nebraska, let's say they lose to Penn State. I think if they can get into the Big Ten championship, they still have a shot to get in. I really don't think, other than Alabama and Clemson, I think it's likely, like, Ohio State crapped the bed last year against Purdue. Against 2 years ago, they got the crap beaten out of them by Iowa. Like, it's very possible that, like, Northwestern just beats them by 25 points. Like, we never know with Ohio State, you know what I mean? They do have Justin Fields, who it's apparently still a competition, which is really confusing me, between Gunnar Warrick, a backup from Kentucky. But Justin Fields, I think he's the best high school football player I've ever watched. He's who I think is going to start at quarterback for Ohio State. Extremely talented. They got wide receiver named KJ Hill, 98% sure on that. Love watching him. J.K. Dobbins is a running back, all Big Ten running back. So they have the offensive firepower, but you do have a new head coach, so you never know what's going to happen. And we've just seen the last couple years from Ohio State, like, they could lose to Maryland at home. The year they won the national championship, they lost to Virginia Tech at home by like 20 points. So I think it's possible that I don't think they're going undefeated. I think there's enough new faces in there where they're not going to go undefeated. But I think they can have one or even two losses, and they still have a shot at getting in. So that's why I was going to pick Ohio. It sounds like both of us were going to pick Ohio State at some point in this range we're at.
Right. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, no, I'm kind of banking on that. My hope is that you know, last year that loss to Purdue costing them the playoff is going to, you know, force them to focus more, you know, each, you know, kind of week in, week out a little bit more than they have, and not have, that drop sort of a game. But you never know. Like you said, this is sort of looking like a year where they could have, you know, a bad loss. And if they only have one loss, you know, still get in, or even two good losses.
Yeah. Well, man, let's go to my next team. And I'm at this point, I'm pretty confident you're not going to pick either of these two teams that I'm going to pick. So I'm going to roll with my third pick is Michigan.
Okay, yeah, no.
And again, I honestly, I don't think they're going to get in, but Matt took all the teams. I think it's going to be Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. There are, or Oklahoma. Those, I think it's going to be four out of those five, but they're off the table. So,
right. Well, we're in the point where these are like our fifth and sixth picks, and there's obviously only four slots. So this is, you know, just the best team.
Yeah, so no one tell me I thought Michigan was going to get in the playoff. But here's why I'm picking them as the next best shot, I think, to get in the playoff. If you look at the schedule, they got Notre Dame's at home, Michigan State's at home, Ohio State is at home, like we just talked about. A non-conference other than Notre Dame, they play Army and Middle Tennessee State. Army's pretty good. So that's no slouch game there. But they got Wisconsin on the road. Iowa's at home. They play Penn State on the road. So Penn State and Wisconsin are the two tricky road games. They got a new offensive coordinator. Jeff Gattis is his name. He's going to run more of a open offense, more of a spread offense that I think fits better to Shea Patterson. Their quarterback transferred from Ole Miss, his skill set. He's really athletic, really mobile. So I think a spread offense where he can kind of play to his strengths, play a little bit more simply, is going to help that offense. Defensively, they do need to reload, but I think they'll be okay. But offensively, they have a couple really good wide receivers. I'm honestly blanking on the name right now, Matt, but there's someone I don't want to say it wrong. So let me, I know this is great content. It's something Blackman on the receiver name. And if you're listening to this and you know who I'm talking about, I'm sorry for blanking on it. Receiver. You don't know who I'm talking about, do you, Matt?
Black. I don't know who you're talking about, unfortunately.
So Tariq Black and then Donovan Peoples-Jones. Those are two really talented wide receivers. So I think Michigan's, their offense is going to increase. I think the defense will still be pretty solid. Not as good as last two years, but I still think they'll be really good. But yeah, man, I just don't trust Michigan at this point, which I think is fair. Jim Harbaugh hasn't shown us that he can win. To be fair, he's been really close, but also at the end of the day, he has a 2-7 record against Michigan State and Ohio State, which doesn't get the job done. I think they're a dark horse, but I think they should be considered a playoff contender because they have experienced quarterback, new offensive coordinator, again, Jeff Gattis. That's the big reason I like Michigan at this point to be considered a team to get in.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, no, I just think it is weird. Now, what's your opinion on Jim Harbaugh? Because you're close to him. You followed him more closely than most football fans, A, because you follow everybody more closely, but B, because you're a fan of both Stanford and the San Francisco
49ers. Yeah, I love
49ers.
Stanford football. That's where I wanted to play before I realized I was 5'10", ran a 4.7, and had a 22-inch vertical. So that didn't quite happen. Yeah, I grew up 49ers fan. So Jim Harbaugh has been a part of my football life for a really long time, like Matt said. And I think I honestly don't know what the problem is in Michigan, because at Stanford, he was extremely successful. 49ers, they went to three straight NFC championship games. I know the problem in San Francisco, just big picture-wise, like he has a personality that really grinds on you. He's really competitive, really, I don't want to say arrogant. I don't want to say egocentric, but you get the lines I'm going along, I think, right?
Yeah, and he's kind of like a weird dude. Like when you listen to him talk, and he's got all those quotes about like how he eats like only steak and milk for breakfast or whatever that was, and he only wears his khaki pants.
He's an odd person, and he thinks. And to be fair, he's been pretty successful, so with some reason at least. But he thinks he's right all the time, so it grinds people, Matt, to be honest with you. And I think in college, he's better fit for college than the NFL, because in college you shuffle the players every year, three years or 4 years, they get out of there, you get some new players. In the NFL, that's why it was successful short term, but long term, that kind of really broke down the San Francisco 49ers. And even Matt, with this transfer issue, that offensive lineman from Michigan who transferred to Cincinnati, The Athletic had a really good article. I'm spacing the player's name, so again, I apologize. We most of the stuff we didn't really plan to talk about, so it's kind of freeballing it. If I say I spaced something as far as the player's name, but The Athletic had a really great article about there's a player from Cincinnati, offensive lineman, who played in Michigan, and he transferred to Cincinnati. He's citing, and when I say he's citing, like, I believe him, obviously, but, like, he's saying he has depression. He wants to be closer to his family back in Ohio. And he probably has more playing time in Cincinnati as well. And from the player's mom and also Cincinnati's head coach, it just sounds like Jim Harbaugh has been tone deaf to an extent as far as this player. Jim Harbaugh's, like, cited, like, questioning if the players, like, are using mental health as an excuse, things like that. And little things like that, even if they don't matter, Matt, they do affect the program. And overall, you know, you're in close games, like, that stuff does come out a little bit. I know people think it doesn't matter. You're just, like, throwing football around. It doesn't matter if the coach is weird or not. But all the little stuff you're doing from, like, January till November, like, you're playing at Ohio State, you 4th and 3, you can't get the ball. Can't get the ball on the first down. Like, that stuff you're doing in March matters. That stuff, like, your interaction with the coach, the personality, the atmosphere, the energy of the team in the spring and in the summer, that stuff matters in the fall. So that's that was probably longer than you thought,
right?
You wanted, but
yeah. No. That's good. I think that's all interesting. Guy named James Hudson, yeah, the offensive lineman? Okay, yeah, James Hudson. The article was on by Justin
really, really
Williams
good article.
In
so,
The Athletic.
This is, we're not getting paid to say this, but we both really like The Athletic, think well-written stuff. So I subscribe. However, it's not that expensive, I think, to get their monthly article or whatever.
Yeah, they're always doing deals. I actually, you know, just got on and I wasn't logged on, and it gave me a 50% off offer right now. So anyway, that'd be a good thing to talk about, kind of our favorite, where we get our, I think, because I get most of my information listening to, you know, podcasts on the way to work. That's how I, you know, hear most of my stuff. I think you actually get to read a little bit more than I do, ironically.
Yeah,
I'm an English
teacher.
I
love, like, sports writing. I think that you have more experience writing and just with English than I do. But, like, I read, like, one of the books I'm reading right now. And actually, shout out to my roommate's mom, because my roommate's mom got me a similar book as well. But I'm reading a book by Rick Riley, and it's literally just all his articles, like, best articles written into one. And I love reading it, because I say, like, oh, like, he does this really well. So then I try to incorporate it in the articles I'm writing. My roommate's mom, I'm spacing on the name of the author, but she got me a similar book where just, like, his best articles I'll put in one. So I'm really excited to read that. But yeah, as far as I actually like reading articles, Matt, Zach Lowe is probably my favorite writer. I think we both really like Zach Lowe. He's an NBA writer for ESPN. I think it helps my writing as much as it informs me as well. And then, hiccups, excuse me. What I'll do is I'll read it, and then I'll pop on YouTube, watch the player they're talking about, kind of develop my own opinion from there.
Right, yeah. That's good stuff. Well, shall we get to
I got two still.
We get to our last picks?
Don't be shortchanging. I think one.
Oh, you got two. I got one. Okay, cool.
Wait, are you done with picks? Yeah, where are we on?
Huh? Well, let me see, because I got Clemson, Oklahoma,
yeah,
and Ohio State, right?
Oh, so I just
picked,
didn't I?
Yeah,
you just picked
Michigan, so you only got one left, too.
We went on a little bit of a tangent with Michigan there. A very Jim Harbaugh-esque tangent, you know, staying on brand. We just got one more pick.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so I'm going to use one. Since we're already kind of past the teams that I really think are going to make the playoff, I'm going to pick just a little bit of a wild card team. And I'm going to pick Oregon. And so, like I said, wild card team. But I think that they're in a good position. I think that, you know, this is the best team that Oregon's had in a really, really long time. You know, I think they're always going to have good skill players. I think they have a better line this year than they have, in the past. I think they're coming into the Pac-12 as a bit of a dark horse. I think, Utah is the favorite in a weaker, South division. I think Washington is probably the favorite in the North division, But because of that, I think that, you know, allows Oregon a little bit more of an opportunity to just be a little bit more sneaky. And I think if you're going to be, you know, that fourth spot team, that's always going to be a wild card anyway. It's got to be someone who's, you know, got to sort of sneak in. You're not really expecting. And I think that momentum, if they can get that momentum just by getting into a Pac-12 championship they're not expecting to, I think that could, you know, help them beat a really, really good Utah team. And so, yeah, that's a bit outside the box, but that's what
I was
going to.
I decided on another team, but I was debating between Oregon and my last team as well. And I like your thinking as well. I think Utah is a favorite in the Pac-12 because they're in the South. And I think Oregon and Washington kind of split votes in the North. And I actually think Washington is a better team than Oregon, but I would have picked Oregon, and we're talking like odds of making the playoff, because their first game of the year is in Dallas, Texas against Auburn. You remember Washington literally played Auburn in a kickoff game last year. I think there was in Atlanta, though, and it was kind of a dud of a game. I think Auburn won 21-16. Washington really did not show up for the Pac-12, and that kind of set the tone for Washington. They went to the Rose Bowl and won the Pac-12, so it wasn't like that bad of a season, but I think people in Washington want a bit better. So if Oregon can win that game, they're going to set themselves up well. They, in conference, they avoid Utah, which I think is the best team in the South. But I do think people are sleeping on USC and Arizona State. They play both those teams on the road, USC and Arizona State. They play Washington on the road, and they play Stanford on the road. Stanford doesn't have that great of a home field advantage. But it's not at Oregon. The last 3 years, Oregon has a losing record away from Autzen. So even if they're playing not in that hostile of environment, they're not playing at Autzen, which gives Oregon such a boost. One of the top atmospheres, fans, stadiums in the whole country is Autzen. So schedule's tough, but if they can win that Auburn game, get the Pac-12. I think Oregon is, unlike Ohio State, unlike Oklahoma, unlike Georgia, that we've all talked about, they have to have one loss. If someone's coming out of the Pac-12, they need some help, and they also need only one loss and to win the conference. But, yeah, I like your Oregon pick. Justin Herbert, right now, he's not my top NFL prospect, but he's the top NFL prospect. We're talking like NFL scouts. You know a bit more than I do. He's 6'6", 230-something, if I remember right off the top of my head. A 6'6 is right for sure. Huge arm, can make so many throws. One thing he does better than I think people think he does is he makes some touch throws pretty well. The big thing for him, I think, is making just sometimes his decision-making isn't spectacular. I think you go back, look at the Stanford game a season ago where Stanford upset Oregon in Eugene. That was a pretty bad game for him, I thought. But they have, I think, Matt, definitely top five, maybe the best offensive line in the entire country. So really good offensive line. Troy Dye's a fantastic linebacker. They got Kayvon Thibodeau, who's arguably the number one recruit in this class. He's a defensive end from Christian Oaks High School in California. So they got the talent. Mario Cristobal's done a great job there. Schedule's really hard, but if they can win that Auburn game and have some luck in the Pac-12, I think Oregon does have a shot.
Cool. Nice. Well, that'll be good to see. Yeah, I was like the Pac-12, as bitter as I am about BYU not being in it, I think it's the funnest to watch, just because there's so many
can
different
lose
things
to anyone,
that happen.
Which is why I enjoy the Pac-12 so much. Like, you could be watching some, like, Oregon State, Arizona State, something like that. You don't know. Oregon State's terrible, but, like, last year they came back from, like, 30 points down to beat Colorado, who also wasn't great, but 30-point comeback for Oregon State is something else, you know? I will say, before we move on, they play Washington State at home. So as tough a road schedule as they do get Washington State at home. So, yeah. Matt, here's my last team. You ready? I'm rolling with the team I think is most likely at this point to make the playoffs is the Texas Longhorns. And
interesting. So this would require
twice,
them to beat Oklahoma
this is
probably
going,
twice.
Everything I said about Oklahoma is what I think is going to happen. Everything I'm about to say about Texas is what needs to happen for Texas to win and get in the playoffs, not what I think is going to happen. I realistically think their second game of the year is in Austin, but it's against LSU. I think LSU is going to physically be more dominant. This is me saying this after Texas beat Georgia last year in the Sugar Bowl, so maybe I'm not buying in enough to Texas, but I think LSU wins that game in Austin. excuse me, they'd have to beat Oklahoma after that loss. They'd have to win the Big 12 outright after that loss. They play Iowa State on the road. But other than that, they play most of the tougher teams at home. They play Oklahoma State at home. Oklahoma, again, neutral site game. They play Texas Tech at home. Baylor's on the road, and TCU's on the road. So maybe I exaggerated that a bit, because TCU and Iowa State, I think, are going to be the 3 and 4 teams. And then Oklahoma State, I think, is going to be the 5th team in the Big 12. So they play 2 of those teams on the road. So scratch what I said about most of the teams at home. But I think Texas is better. I think Sam Ellinger, I think, is the top 10 quarterback in the country, top 15 range for sure. They've recruited really well under Tom Herman. I don't think they're going to be Oklahoma twice, because I think Oklahoma is so talented. But I've also doubted Jalen Hurts maybe more than I should in the past. But I think there's a realistic realm where there's a quarterback controversy in Oklahoma. They just got the number one quarterback recruit in the country. His name's Spencer Rattler from Pinnacle High School in Phoenix, Arizona. Let's say Jalen Hurts has a bad game and they start playing a true freshman. I think if something goes wrong at Oklahoma, Texas has the talent to capitalize on that, but Oklahoma would have to have less than the year they're capable of for Texas to make the playoffs.
Right. That makes sense. And the other thing is, if Texas did beat Oklahoma twice, I think it would be hard to keep them out.
And let's say Texas lose to LSU. Let's say they lose to TCU in a close game on the road as well. But let's say Ohio State has 2 losses. Let's say Ohio State loses to Penn State and Maryland, beats Michigan, but doesn't make the Big Ten championship. Let's say Penn State has 3 losses, but makes the Big Ten championship. Pac-12 beats itself up. Michigan loses to Notre Dame, loses to Michigan State, something like that, you know? Like, there's a realm, like, there's, I don't think Notre Dame's going undefeated, so I think at least this is the year we're going to see a 2-loss team. If I'm not mistaken, that'd be the first time. Maybe Georgia, no, Georgia didn't have 2 losses. I'm not wrong, man. There's never been a 2-loss team in the playoffs yet. I can't think of any. Yeah, I'm racking my brain.
Nothing I can think of.
And I can't think of any. So I think this is going to be the year that that happens. And if it has already, then I apologize to said 2-loss team. But I would bet money off the top of my head that that's never happened before. We really need to get a research guy to help us out with stuff like this. But I honestly think it's going to be – I think it'll be Oklahoma, maybe Ohio State, maybe Texas, but – I think there's going to be a 2-loss team in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be interesting. That'll be a good thing to call right here, because it's hard, because you're going to have, I mean, UCF probably isn't going to be undefeated this year, but you're going to get somebody, like a Penn State or like a Wisconsin or something that goes undefeated, only has 1 loss, who it's going to be hard to keep out. But yeah, you know, if Texas or like Alabama had 2
and
losses,
I honestly think Georgia is getting, I legitimately believe Georgia's going to get, I think Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and then Ohio State or Oklahoma. So I think it's going to be a crazy year, Matt. Let's just recap. So your picks, you had, who did you have? I'm forgetting.
I had Clemson, Oklahoma,
and then
Ohio State,
Alabama, Georgia. Who's my 13? Michigan and Texas. Okay, I'm actually liking your draft now that we're taking a step back. I think you had a better, because you're getting 1. I think you're at least getting 2, and then I would need Georgia. I'm banking on the teams getting in, and maybe some luck there with Michigan.
Yeah, well, I also got to pick first.
I think we need to revisit that rule where you get to pick first in this draft every year.
You know so much more than I do.
I guess that's true. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. So, again, we'll come back. We'll discuss this throughout the year. But, so, again, I'm really sorry I have the hiccups right now. But Matt's teams, I think it's every time I eat or
have the hiccups,
every time
we record.
In my job, I have to talk to clients a lot, and a lot of times I'll be like, sorry, I have the hiccups, like literally all day. I think my boss is sick of hearing that from me. But let us know what you think the winner should get, as far as like who has the most teams that actually make the playoff. Whether we'll figure out something, we'll think of something. But the show's Double Take with Matt and Jake's on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Audioboom. Tell us what you think in the comments of maybe what the winner should get. tweet at us at MJ Double Take. That's on Twitter and Instagram as well. Let us know. 5-star reviews. Pour forward. That can be a birthday present. Leave us a 5-star review and a comment about why you like the show so much. That'd be the best birthday present you could give Matt or I. And yes. Just talking future shows, Matt. The reason we did college football this week is because next week is week 0. Miami's playing Florida. I said that last week. I said there's a Florida-Miami game. And somebody's like, oh, well, who are they playing? And I was like, no, it's like Miami, comma, and the Florida Gators are playing each other. But that's week 0. Week 1's in a couple of weeks. But we wanted to get in before any college football started. I think it's going to be a great game, that Miami-Florida game. Really looking forward to it. So check that out. Next week when we're recording, we're going to do our NFL preview. We're going to figure out some NFL preview to do for y'all as well. And at some point in the next couple of weeks, as far as guests, there's an Iowa offensive lineman. He former offensive lineman. He played when they went to the Rose Bowl. He played against Christian McCaffrey, that Stanford team. So he's going to come on in a week or two. We're still working on him. And then early September, we're going to have former BYU quarterback / running back Bo Hodge on the show. So as far as guests, we got a couple football players coming up, or former football players that we're really excited to talk to. Man, we've got a lot of football players, which isn't really the goal, but that's just kind of how it worked out.
Right. Yeah, that's good. We'll keep finding some other people. I think those, there's always like a swimmer. I thought Haley Jensen, the softball
player, was really interesting. When we talked to Clark Brown, the track guy, that was a fun conversation. So, but I also like football a lot. So we'll keep getting guests, help you guys out, get kind of a different perspective on the sports. And also, Matt, we need to talk about soccer. The Premier League started, La Liga started. So we're not going to do that next week probably, because there'll be a lot of football while we're getting ready for football season started. But we are aware of the Premier League starting. So, Matt, anything you're working on or anything you want to close before we wrap it up?
No, just once again, if you didn't read Jake's article ranking the 75 quarterbacks of college football, not the 75 quarterbacks, but that article, you should check it out because it's very good. It's just a good, preview to get you familiar with some of the things to watch for on a bunch of different teams. I know with college football, I usually end up watching a bunch of teams that I don't know anything about. So something like this can be valuable. Be like, oh yeah, I remember I read about this guy, or that this team had this wide receiver and stuff. So, and to me that,
and you can pretend you just knew it from, like, when you're talking to your friends about it. So yeah. So check that out. And yeah, again, subscribe, rate, review. Appreciate everybody listening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.